Hey guys, Joel Popigan here at the beginning before the episode starts, just to kind of give a heads up that there's some weird audio issues with mine where there's a lot of creaking and cracking and banging on my end for some reason. I just wanted to come in and say I'm sorry for that, and I will try to make sure that next time it doesn't exist. But thank you guys for listening, and here's the episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including off-brand toy announcements, new comics, and a duo of really fun episodes from a previous season, and just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
I'm working on my one-liners. It's Kevin.
That works.
It's fine.
Nice and concise. But we've got some fun things to talk about today, because we're going to start diving into a fun little area of RPM. But we've got some new items to talk about before we get to that. But before we dive into our topics, like we do every week, we want to take a moment to encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out in the world. In the past, we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is still important and still ongoing, to the fight against the constant attacks on human, trans, and reproductive rights within the U.S., and the current crisis going on in Gaza. We ask that you find a way that you can help, whether that's, you know, joining in protests safely where you can, watching streams that generate revenue for nonprofits, or even just beginning the steps to educate yourself so you can find out how to help. Just be a hero. Let's try to make this world a better place. But our first topic for today, Toys Battalion announces three more armored hero figures, including the Red T-Rex, Black Mammoth, and Blue Torosaurus figures coming soon. And they had them up for pre-order on various, like, kind of toy collector sites. And these are, for those who have not seen them, they're the movie suits from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. But because these are unofficial figures, they cannot call themselves that, so they have to have fun. Clever names.
Which is the whole shtick of the website. Like, there's, you know, various knockoff figures for, I think, pretty much every major franchise you can think of. Like, there was a not Link figure called the Legendary Hero a while back.
It's always ways to skirt around the copyright but make a figure that fans will buy, pretty much. And these are, like, comparable to the like HK, I can't remember what the numbers are after. Yeah, the HK Zero or Hot Toys, they're kind of trying to be that type of figure. But they usually operate on pre-order, so, like, they'll show off a concept for a toy. If it gets pre-ordered enough, you know, they'll make a certain number of them for the people that pre-order, essentially. It's, you know, each, it's the red, the black, and blue Rangers from suits from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, so it's all, like, the armored suits. And they come with, like, various weapons, depending on, you know, if they used a certain one in the movie, because Billy comes with two, whereas both black and red only come with one. I can't remember, does red come with an alternate helmet sculpt or no?
No, I think red, I don't think he does. I don't remember if he does.
Okay. I was just trying to think of the, like, scanner one was on there, but yeah, no, they're just the normal suits then. And they have, like, they have the dinosaur emblem on them. So it's from, like, early in the movie. But they're pretty cool looking. They do a pretty good job of looking at them. What did you think of these guys, Kevin, when you saw them?
No, I think they look really nice. Like, they definitely went for, like, these figures always go for, like, close to screen accuracy as possible. So these do look like they are ripped from the movie. I think, you know, as much as I love the movie, as much as I love those suits, like, for me, it's probably a pass, because just these figures are very highly detailed, and, you know, they are 1/6 scale, which that does mean these figures are very expensive. So I just, for me, I'm like, you know, it is really nice overall, but at the same time, like,
I mean, it's yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, it's the cost kind of outweighs the desire for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if exactly. I went for it, I'd only go for blue. And it's like, man, it's not worth it to only have one of these. It's like, yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Like, that's the danger and the beauty of being a Ranger toy collector is that they look great on their own, but they don't look right unless you have everybody with them.
Yeah. It just, it's kind of like getting a tattoo. Once you have one, you want all of them. Like,
yeah, yeah. So yeah, but, that's good. But yeah, I mean, overall, they're really lovely figures. I mean, if you are looking to still collect Power Ranger related or Power Ranger adjacent figures, this is a good way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. If you really have a spot in your collection that's just like itching for this, yeah, by all means, get them. And I mean, yeah, they did white already. He was the first one that got made. So I'm sure we'll likely see like a pink and yellow getting made by Toy Battalion at some point soon. Yeah. It would just make sense. You've already done 4 of 6. Just complete the set.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's kind of similar to you, Kevin. I think this is a pass for me. Unless I magically fall into money and then like, there will be signs, as they say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you're not wrong.
But with that, we'll dive into our comics that we have to discuss this week, because boy howdy, do we have some comics to discuss. We're going to start with Godzilla vs. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2, number 1, which has a story by Cullen Bunn, art by Baldemar Rivas, colors by Andrew Dollhouse, and letters and design by Johanna Natalie. Worlds collide a second time as everyone's favorite kaiju meets up with Earth's mightiest warriors once again to take on the most fearsome monsters from both sides of the multiverse, with Rita Repulsa egging them on. This one has it all. Space Godzilla, Clawhammer, Tentacreep. But what exactly does Rita intend to do with their collective might and have her mysterious new allies, Astronema and the Alliance of Evil, given her added reach across worlds? The Power Rangers are on a mission to find out, but first, all roads lead back to Godzilla. Writer Cullen Bunn and artist Baldemar Rivas team up for an all-new, incredible cosmic adventure that has to be read to be believed.
Yeah.
Well, that was a lot of words.
It was, yeah.
Lord have mercy. Where do we start, Kevin? Where do we start? I think anyone who's listened to our previous episodes knows that we were solidly meh on the first version of this.
Yeah, I mean, the first team up was, I remember, like, the common thing we got was that it felt like the writer, and granted, before we start talking about this, I do want to acknowledge for us, like, the two of us are not Godzilla fans. Like, not that we don't like Godzilla, not that we'd never watched a Godzilla, but I feel like for the both of us, and I feel like I can speak for you as well, Joel, we're not as steeped into Godzilla lore as much as a Godzilla fan would be. Am I safe in saying that?
Yes, that is not an incorrect statement.
Yeah. So we are coming from the perspective of being Power Rangers fans, and that's where we come from on all these crossovers. I think for us, like, the other crossovers have been interesting because we've had a stake in them at different points, and we're more familiar with those franchises. But for us, with Godzilla, you know. But one of the common critiques we had of the previous one was that it felt like, at least on the Power Rangers side, that the writer watched, like, Day of the Dumpster and Green with Evil, and then that was really it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, where do we start?
I don't know. I mean, like, the one thing we'll start at the gate is the thing I said to you, you know, off mic, is, you know, who is this for, is kind of the big question that I asked myself the entire time I'm reading this. Because the thing, like, I don't know, because we're not, you know, Godzilla people. We don't know if, like, is there a lot of, like, Godzilla lore in these? Because it does not feel like it, at least in this first issue for 2, especially. It doesn't feel like there's a ton of, like, Godzilla to sink your teeth into, unless, like, just the sight of him gets you going. It feels in this one way more towards the Power Ranger side, but I don't know that improves it. I will say there's a lot that I kind of am just not, I don't really care for in this, but there is, like, one thing that where I had a moment of being kind of interested in what might happen in this. Because, mm-hmm. The big thing that they add to this one is it's now got, multiversal elements to it. That's kind of how they're bringing everything in that they're bringing in. So much so that we get, the White Ranger introduced in this issue. And I'm only calling them the White Ranger because we don't know who is under the helmet, technically. Because there's a nice wrinkle that gets added to this whole thing is that, we see other universes that are not, I would say typical Power Ranger universes, because we see a panel at one point in the comic where it is just five people in, our normal colors. And it's okay, there are different versions of these, which I thought was an interesting thing, because so many Power Ranger mm-hmm. comics are no, we go to RPM, we go to SPD in the future, we go to Dino Charge, and those are our alternate universes.
Yeah.
We don't really go into the aside from, I guess, the coin list would be the other one that gets highlighted in terms of the alternate universes. Yeah.
Well, now we have Mighty Morphin the Return. That's an official alternate universe as well.
Yeah. So we've got another added, but we don't really tend to get a lot of variations in the Spider-Verse way is the way I'm thinking of it, where it's wild swings. And I'm betting, since we never see the White Ranger in this first issue, spoilers, take their helmet off, it's not Tommy under there, is what I'm betting. I don't know who it is, but I'm betting it's not Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, it probably will be Tommy.
I would think they would have him remove the helmet. And that would be shocking. I know, I'm giving them credit.
we've read this before. I remember when I was like, oh hey, maybe Mecha Godzilla will appear and combine with a Megazord. That'd be kind of cool.
I know. Last time we did it too, where we wrote better stories than what they ended up going with.
Well, I think the thing is, I agree. I don't know who this is for necessarily. I do think that it's very. I think the thing that I find very interesting is that this is very Mighty Morphin centric, but. Spoiler warning for those of you that haven't seen the covers, or if you've not read it yet, so you can skip ahead a few minutes. But it's also trying to appeal to, in space fans with the use of Astronema and the Psycho Rangers. So, it's... And oftentimes, we rarely see, with these crossover series, we rarely see them acknowledge anything past season one.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, can I just say... As someone who has, on this podcast, we're 140 episodes deep. We know I love In Space. I love Astronema, especially, too. Let me tell you, it is a sad day whenever I read some pages with Astronema and Rita going at it. And I'm just like, okay, that's nice. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Even, the big reveal at the end of the issue that I know it's supposed to be cool. The issue wants me to think it's cool, but I don't think it's cool. I'm like, okay, cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, the big reveal. So, obviously, Rita has, they're going on this, multiversal journey. This White Ranger is chasing Rita along, trying to figure out what Rita's trying to do. In doing so, Rita's, pulls Godzilla into Angel Grove. Mm-hmm. We find out that she's, somehow pulled a version of Astronema and the Psycho Rangers from throughout the multiverse. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the issue, they've made Psycho Ghidorah using what looks like the yellow Psycho Ranger and Ghidorah and fused them into one, is kind of the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah, that's the vibe I'm getting as well.
And I'm just like, cool, I guess. I don't know. The big problem is, and we discussed this, we had this issue in the last time. What's cool about crossovers is the interactions with characters. One of the characters in this comic is a gigantic lizard that doesn't talk. So that is very limited on what you can do in terms of interactions and the thing that makes a crossover sing. Mm-hmm. And so what's kind of left is we just have to have fight scenes, which unless your fight scenes require more finesse in comics to make them interesting. And it's just I don't know. We'll see. We have a new artist this time around. It's not
Freddie.
Yes, it's not Freddie Williams III. it's a new artist, Baldemar Rivas, and I do think their work is good. Yeah. I preferred it in, like, so it's weird. It feels like the way it's drawn, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to feel like an insult. It looks like the comics from the 90s, the old Mighty Morphin Power Ranger tie-in comics, and that's not to be a slight. That's kind of the vibe that it gives off when reading it. And I say that because, like, the Power Ranger suits sometimes, they go off model a little bit. They're not quite how they normally look. And then, like, I did really like in the scene with, like, Astronema and Rita, there's kind of, like, a cartoony element that, like, kind of gets brought into their fight, like, in the way they're, like, posed and the way they move in the panels. I really did like that. So I want to give this comic praise where I can.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's valid. I think it's just... we'll see where
it may not be for us. It may not be for us, and that's fine.
Yeah, it may not be for us, and I think, too, ultimately, one thing to keep in mind is, you know, there's still a few issues to go. Like, we might still find something good in this. And this is not to critique or, you know, be overly negative to the writers, to the artists. Like, they are doing the best they can with it. We'll see where this goes.
Yep, we'll keep hope. We'll see. Maybe, you know, maybe issue two in, like, 3 or 4 or 5 will make us happier.
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen.
Yep. On the other side of comics, though, we can jump to Ranger Academy number 5, which dropped this week, which is written by Maria Ingrande Mora, illustrated by Jomi Kyung, colored by Joanna LaFuente, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. Sage finally gets what she wants and successfully morphs, but the results are unexpected, and she harbors a taboo secret from her friends and the rest of the academy. Meanwhile, Sage is feeling low with parent weekend approaching, and in a sparring session with Tula, makes a shocking confession that Tula never saw coming. I have to say, it's Ranger Academy number 6. I just realized. Came out this week, not 5. No, you're good. You're good. Ranger Academy 6 is actually what came out this week, because I just was about to say, 5 and 6 are what have actually made me love this series. I will say, like, in talking about the first 4 issues, you know, we were like, well, we don't know where this is going, we don't really know what the tone, it's kind of, you know, just really introducing us in the first 4 issues. Now that we're all past that, 5 and 6 have, I think, been great. You know, Sage having the secret, trying to, like, you know, navigate being friends with her friends, you know, trying lying to her friends where she has to, and then this kind of looming parent week that we've had since last issue, you know, issue 5 getting revealed, kind of comes to the head in this one, and we get an interesting wrinkle with that that's added. But, you know, what did you think of issue 6 overall, Kevin?
I mean, I think it definitely it's starting to build up kind of the mystery that we know about, because we start seeing. Yeah. We're starting to get little breadcrumbs, and I think it's interesting because obviously we're seeing this from the perspective of the kids, so they don't know what's going on, and clearly the teachers are harboring some secrets against them. And I think, too, it's doing a good job of, like, doing the slow burn. Like, the first, you know, it's a standard practice and knowledge in the comics industry that you write, you know, your story arcs in fours. It's like a dance move. Like, you do 1, 2, 3, 4, you move forward to the next motion. I think that's pretty much the standard in any comic book series to this day. Even during year-long events, like, act 1 is your 4 issues, act 2, 4 issues, and then so on and so forth.
It's called writing for a trade, essentially.
So I think that's what's interesting to me, is that, like, we've seen, like, the first 4 issues kind of be used to, like, be, like, the trade 1, and this is now trade 2. And I think it works. Like, we've got the world established now, and now we're starting to realize that not everything is quite as it seems. And I think it's a solid, like, they've got the hooks in, and now we're kind of like, okay, well, what happens next? Like, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, because I think this issue also, like, the big, you know, obviously one of the big mysteries is, like, around the Green Ranger, like, you know, why is this seen as such a bad thing? Why is there not a green campus, et cetera, et cetera? And, you know, we had kind of hypothesized, like, oh, this is doing a callback to Mighty Morphin Green. It's probably to do something with it being evil, yada, yada. But in this issue, we get a little more of the green campus, and it seems like there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
It seems like something happened there, and whatever happened caused the academy to close it.
Yeah.
So I'm really kind of like, I'm more interested now than I was before. I'm like, okay, we're doing something else. We're kind of getting somewhere different. And mm-hmm. coupled with this, you know, at Parent Weekend, you know, we get a cameo from a former Power Rangers character, and not one I think we thought we would get.
Not the one that we thought we would get, but the one that actually works really well within this context.
Yes. Because Nadira from Time Force shows up, because she is the mother of... I forget the character's name.
You're fine.
Because I blank on all their names. I'm trying to look at it now.
No, you're fine.
Mathis. It's Mathis.
Yes,
Yes, it's Mathis. Their mother is Nadira. And it's really fun, because I do love how Jomin Kyung draws Nadira, because she's in this, like, big black hat with this, like, really, like, ornate, like, kind of pink ribbon on it. It's great.
Yeah.
And we don't get confirmation of this, but we do get a reference to the husband that she married, the Power Ranger she married, which is Joe, right? From Hyperforce, right?
I guess she did. I thought she got with Lucas.
I believe in Hyperforce she marries Joe, and Lucas is jealous. I now have to...
Yeah, because I thought, didn't she say that, like, oh, her dad was a Blue Ranger?
Maybe they changed it. Ranger Wiki has already updated it to show he's the main protagonist of Power Rangers Hyperforce. He is also the husband of Nadira and the father of Mathis.
Got it. Okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah, because they get married. I remember they got married in Hyperforce, because that's the whole thing where Lucas shows up to the wedding is, like, annoyed that he's there because he's Nadira's ex, essentially. But yeah, no. Joe is Mathis's father, which I thought was like, oh, okay, that's kind of fun. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it's a good way of acknowledging the fact that, like, this is obviously, it's canon, but it's canon adjacent. This is the easiest way to do it than going in and saying, oh, this is Kira's daughter, or, oh, this is, you know, Jack's son. Like,
yeah,
it's close enough to the main characters that, like, it's still significant, but they kind of let play with it, so.
Yeah, it's also fun, too, because, like, Mathis has, like, Nadira's pink hair, but has green eyes, so, like, the idea is, like, green from Joe is kind of bleeding into her, or into them. Yeah, I really like... it's just, I would not have picked, if you could have told me, like, oh, they're gonna bring back a, like, one of these characters is going to be a child of a former Power Ranger character. I don't know that I would have pulled Nadira out of a hat. I don't think she would have been my first choice by means, but I love it. I'm really happy. And with Nadira's presence and the other parents, we start getting hints that there is some kind of danger that they were alerted to that the students are not aware about. And, you know, there's a reference to Dark Spectre. So we're not sure at this time if this is meant to be, like, a reference to the Darkest Hour event that's currently going on, or if this is just a general Dark Spectre reference.
Yeah. I ultimately think there's some time travel shenanigans going on.
Yeah, well, we know for sure that.
Yeah, so we don't know if this means, like, Ranger Academy is... Because, you know, we do have that space from... the Time Force trade where, like, we find
the location. Sent to the future, okay.
Yeah, like, where we have, like, the space that's, you know, it's not anywhere in time. So, I think that's part of what we're going to figure out with the Green Mystery. I'll go ahead and share my theory if you want to hear my theory about what happened to the Green Academy.
Sure.
I think they died, but I think they just got displaced in time. Like, they're out of sync. Like, kind of like the Doctor Who type thing, you know what I'm talking about? Where, like, they moved Gallifrey to be, like, in a different, like, in a different second or something. I forget what the exact terming was, but...
Yeah, there was, like, a moment... they just moved them out. Yeah, they moved them out of space and time. Yeah, kind of thing. I think it's something more. I think it's going to be, you know, if we get, like, a tie into the Darkest Hour, it's a whole thing that, like, they got corrupted kind of thing, or, like...
Potentially, yeah.
That kind of, like, color of the grid has gotten messed up in some way, and, like, you know, Sage will have to be the one to help purify it, and maybe they're, like, lost in the grid kind of thing.
Maybe,
I could see that. I am, because, I mean, if Tula knows someone that was a Green Ranger that went away, this did not happen long ago. This happened very recently.
Yeah.
So I will be really interested in it to see what kind of they do. I mean, also, the big thing, you know, you and I talked about this offline. This may be contentious to some people, but this is a queer as hell book. I love this book. Between having non-binary characters who are part of the main cast with, like, Mathis, you know, we get reference to Tula having two dads. And, you know, it's not like they, like, roll out the red carpet every time they say these things. It's not made a big deal. It's just a thing in the conversation that happens, but it makes it a part of this book in a really fun and foundational way. That this is, like, this is a queer Power Ranger book in a kind of a weird way. I really love it. I really love it so much.
It's cool that this exists.
But I'll be excited to see, you know, once we kind of get through this, like, Green Rain or the Green Academy, like, once we get through this mystery, once we kind of get, you know, Sage's secrets on the table.
Yeah.
I wonder what comes next. That's kind of what I'm excited about, because I think there's kind of, like, an open potential, you know, we can see them, you know. Will we get new villains introduced in this? Will we get, you know, kind of new looks at what it means to be a Power Ranger team? You know, how do you work with people that you've just met or, you know, that you've now trained together forever? I'll be really excited to see kind of how things move forward with them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But we'll get to see more soon and we'll have more discussed next week. But any last thoughts on the comic book world before we head out?
No, I think, you know, it is interesting kind of the whiplash we have of, like, the... Because I read both of these issues back to back.
Yeah.
And it felt like a whiplash in the moment. I was like, oh, we're jumping around. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, like, the, you know, not to stay on comics much longer, but, like, you know, I think, you know, for all the talk about Power Rangers being dead right now, you have technically 4 Power Ranger comics running at the same time. All of which are different flavors of Power Rangers, depending on what you want. If you want kind of lighthearted and kind of fluff, Godzilla vs. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 2 is here for you. If you want something that's a little more YA, that's a little more younger, Ranger Academy is the good series for that. If you're a longtime fan, but you've not really been involved and you know MMPR really well, MMPR The Return is there. And then you've got, like, the Mighty Morphin Power Ranger comic, which is doing all the fun, crazy, like, hey, we're deep in mythology, we're deep with all the different characters from across the series kind of thing right now. So there's a lot that you can get out of the comic universe if you just go look and read it. But with that said, we'll jump into Power Rangers RPM now, because we'll be discussing episodes 6 and 7 this week, starting with episode 6, Ranger Green, which is written by Eddie Gazillion and directed by Jonathan Braw. In it, Ziggy and Dr. K clash as he undergoes training while a magnetic Vengeance monster launches an assault on the city. Ziggy's criminal past is revealed to the Rangers as the story of why Fresno Bob is after Ziggy. So this starts the kind of, like, backstory arc, I guess, of RPM. Because we'll get, obviously, you know, we have 2 of the Rangers here in green and red, and then, you know, we'll eventually get yellow, we'll get blue. It's kind of expanding on all the characters that did get a focus, essentially, that aren't Dylan. We do get a little bit more of Dr. K in each of these as well, because we're trying to, like, breadcrumb out her character as well. But starting with Ranger Green, I just want to, like, jump off the bat. I love the fact that the show is kind of, like, as much as it's known for being, like, the dark show or the, you know, the meta show that, like, makes comments. I really keep going back to the fact that, like, the structure of these episodes is really fascinating to me, because we get the Power Ranger elements and those are still there. We still have to hit the beats of a monster shows up, monster gets blown up, monster grows, Megazord kills monster. But how we get there is always fun, and kind of, like, in Ranger Green specifically, we're getting a ton of, like, flashbacks, and they don't do the, like, we don't get, like, a twinkle that, like, tells us, hey, we've moved into a flashback. We will literally move scenes and move through time and not get kind of any grounding, and you're just expected to keep up.
It's very smart how they write it.
Yes, definitely. then one thing I want to call out at the top of the episode is Ziggy is now a ranger in the credits. We've officially got all five rangers now in the credits as of episode 6. And we get Dr. K because we've now seen her. And also, man, this episode really wants to hammer home the, like, sexist notions of people. Because we linger on the, I thought you'd be a dude for a long time.
Yeah.
And it comes up kind of multiple times.
Yeah.
Around Dr. K, which, like, I get, I understand the joke they're going for, and I understand that's supposed to be funny that Ziggy's kind of making assumptions and yada, 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 but it is just like, okay, guys, we got it. We got it.
Yeah.
But what about this episode, Kevin? What did you think of Ranger Green?
I mean, I think it does a really good job at, like, establishing Ziggy's character a bit further. Like, we've gotten shades of him as, like, the funny guy. And, like, we know he got in trouble with the cartels, but we don't know how. And I think this episode does a really good job of, like, examining Ziggy as a flawed character. Like, he ultimately has a good heart. He wants to belong, and he wants to do right by the world. And I think that's the thing that ultimately we get to see, is, like, we get to see his journey of where he ended up and how he got back to the city. And I think it also, it does a good, I think Ziggy is a fun character because I think each of the characters of RPM, they do a lot of world building in their backstories. We will see this in the next couple of episodes, and, you know, I obviously we'll touch on this as we talk about them, but with Ziggy, we're seeing the establishment of, you know, this is what the organized crime element is, which is something that you don't see often in Power Rangers. And I think it just, it's so fun how each character and their backstories help build out and flesh out the world of RPM in little and big ways, because we also learn about, you know, the orphanage. We learn about, you know, there's a thing called gamma sickness. Like, it, I think that's one thing that this season does really well, is that each ranger brings something to the table, and their backstories are all world building. They're not all just, you know, from the same class, the same school. You know, they bring in a unique perspective of the world for them, and it just works.
And what I think also, kind of, you know, not only just with world building, there's a lot of, like, character work being done, because especially in this episode, it's a lot of Ziggy and Dr. K connecting, because there's a lot of, like, just going back and forth between the two of them, where, like, Ziggy is just honestly trying to earn, like, Dr. K's, when I say affection, I don't mean romantic affection, I mean just, like, like, wants to be accepted by Dr. K, wants Dr. K to acknowledge him as, like, not an equal, but just as a person, almost.
No.
There's a lot of lines.
Yeah, I get that vibe too.
Yeah, there's a lot of lines from, like, Ziggy around, like, you know, or Dr. K has, like, you weren't chosen at all. He's like, you know, I wasn't your first choice. She's like, well, you weren't chosen at all. And, like, you know, Ziggy's like, well, come on, King, don't you think you could treat me? He's just like, well, don't you like me? And she's like, no, I don't like you. Yeah. I think with Dr. K, what's really fun about her as a character is she is played kind of cold.
Yeah.
But the show is smart to never let that be one note. She doesn't make super, like, waves. She doesn't always have, like, high emotions, though we'll see spoilers. We'll see some at some point. But, you know, even on that kind of, like, low level, she still has range, and she still, like, can change. I really like that about her character. So you brought up the criminal element that gets introduced in this episode. It is wild that in the Dome City of Corinth, there are five cartels. In the last human settlement, there are five cartels. I was like, good God. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of crime going on in this little city. Which is a fun element. It also tickles me because obviously, like, you know, they film in New Zealand, so all the cars are, you know, the driver's side is on the right side, not the left. Yeah. It always tickles me every time a car, like a European style car, gets put on the screen. I'm just like, hey. And also, like, the big thing that gets kind of shown off in this episode is Ziggy's power. Because, you know, we have, like, blue has the time stop, you know, black has invincibility shield. Green's ability is to teleport, which, if you ask me, is the most broken of all the powers. It's like, Ziggy, why aren't you teleporting all the time?
Yeah. But it makes sense why they would give that to him.
Yeah.
Because then they can't rely on it too much.
Yeah. And it's also funny because that, like, Ziggy's teleportation power is very specific to him, whereas, like, in Power Rangers, like, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, they could technically all teleport. They just, Alpha would have to be the one to control that.
Yeah.
It's just funny. It's really funny. It does tickle me that, like, the big, like, crux of this episode is, like, Ziggy has to be, well, they make it out at the beginning that Ziggy has to be the one to be able to teleport behind the monster's attack field. Later in the episode, that doesn't seem to really matter.
there's multiple times in this episode and series where it happens. You just kind of, you know, you just kind of take it.
Yeah, that's Power Rangers. What does tickle me, so, like, I mean, the attack bot's big thing is he's a magnet, and obviously he, like, pulls in anything that they have. I really love it early in the episode when the Rangers are fighting against it. There's, like, a point where, like, their guns are getting pulled towards it, and there's, like, shots of them, like, struggling against it. It gave me, like, old Mighty Morphin feels, and just, like, that shot, because it's a bunch of actors having to pretend to be pulled when they're not.
Yeah.
And also, what I like about this attack bot is it doesn't talk. It just kind of makes whirring noises.
Yeah.
It's kind of a great example of, like, not everything has to be overdubbed. And I wish other seasons understood that, because we'll definitely, like, talk. We've talked about others that are super overdubbed. And I'm really happy that they kind of showed restraint, being like, this monster's not going to quip. It's just a robot.
Yeah.
Even
with, like, the lack of dialogue for the robot, it's still... It also highlights, like, how good the suit actors can be, because it still has character even when it's not talking. Like, you know, it does, like, mechanical laughing, and, like you get what you need from the character without having to talk.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, adding a character to it would have helped it. Like, I don't think it would add it to the episode at all. Like, I think the episode's better if it doesn't have a monster that's not, like, you know, quipping every 5 seconds. And I mean, like, a fascinating thing, too, kind of staying in, like, on the monsters, we don't see the Vengeance Palace in this episode or next episode, aside from the enlargement sequence. And, like, that's, you know, stock footage. But we don't cut to, like, Tenaya 7 or Crunch and, you know, the Grinders and, you know, find out what they're doing or what their plan is. You know, we are fully in Ranger mode, and the monster is just a thing they have to deal with this episode. It is wild that also we get a ranger getting arrested in this episode, because Ziggy, at one point, in trying to use his teleportation powers, ends up in a bank vault. And they think he's trying to rob it. And so, like, kind of the overreaction is, you know, they're accusing him of being a criminal because of his past. And, you know, Dr. K ends up taking his morpher. There's, like, this really kind of sad line from Ziggy. He's like, look, I'm not a criminal. I'm just incompetent. It's just such a, like, it's like, oh, poor baby. And we get to see, like, you know, even in Ziggy's life where he has had to be, like, a work for the cartels, work with Fresno Bob, you know, he's trying to do his best as he can, but he kind of just messes things up. We also get a wild callback to the previous season and the fact that at one point they shake down Jungle Karma Pizza. And there's a line that references a Four Eyes person. So I'm like, did they go and accost Fran? Like, what did Fran do to deserve that?
It'd be alternate universe Fran.
Yes, but still.
I mean, it's a fun little nod, I think.
That's definitely what they meant, but it's just funny. It did tickle me too. So, there's, like, a fight scene in this, obviously, against the attack bot. And at one point, the Rangers get demorphed.
Yeah.
They fight a little bit as, like, civilians, but then immediately remorph. That's a Disney season thing where, like, they do that a lot in these Disney seasons where they will be in Ranger morph, get knocked out, then immediately morph back. And it's like, okay, well, why knock them out of morph? Like, just stay in morph. It's just funny. It's just a Disney quirk. It did make me laugh, like, when the Rangers finally deal with the Magnet bot, the attack bot, and they destroy him and he grows. The three Rangers get into the Megazord, but Black stays down and fights the Grinders. And at one point, one of the Grinders gets sucked to a magnet. And I'm like, oh, wow, I guess that trick works every time, because I just think of Once and Always with Robo, Snizzard, and Robo Minotaur. I was like, wow, I guess that truly does work every time you do that. Yeah, and then at one point, I did really like the big thing that obviously softens Dr. K to Ziggy is when she finds out the thing that, like, Ziggy refused to tell them.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. K finds out that Ziggy didn't steal the cartel's item that they're claiming he stole. He didn't sell it for money. He took it and gave it to an orphanage, and he's been lying about it because he doesn't want the cartel to find out that the orphanage has it. And there's this great moment where, like, Dr. K, like, listens to, I can't remember the character's name, but it's one of, like, one of Ziggy's friends from the cartel that, like, was the one helping to train him, comes to Dr. K and is like, hey, look, he's not a bad guy. Here's what's really going on. And Dr. K goes and says Ziggy, by using her sonic weapon.
Yeah.
And, blowing off a bunch of people's clothing. and then at the end of the episode, we get, kind of, like, in both of these episodes, it tickles me that the, like, Megazord stuff at the end is just, like, it's the last 3 minutes of the episode, and it feels like it, because they're just like, all right, we're done, we're gonna get these Megazords combined, we're gonna blow up the monster, and we're done.
Yeah.
I did, there's one line that tickled me, so when, Ziggy joins the Megazord combination with his Green Zord, they're like, well, what do you think, and, Flynn has a line where he's like, well, it throws off the whole primary color balance off.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. We got our little meta line for the episode. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the episode, we get kind of a callback to, like, you know, Ziggy and Dr. K's relationship. And Ziggy's like, we're friends. You and I are friends. Is that so bad? And Dr. K's like, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Overall, I really like this episode. It does a great job kind of humanizing Ziggy and kind of giving us his backstory and kind of showing who he is and why he's a hero in his own way, even if he's not the one they would have necessarily wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I really love this as, like, kind of the first step into these backstory episodes. But any other thoughts on Ranger Green?
I mean, it's a really solid start to these flashback episodes, because we do get this little arc where we figure out, we see everything that happens before the pilot. And yeah, it's a good start and a good way of building the world.
Yeah. And with that, we'll kind of shift into episode 7, which is Ranger Red, written by John Telligan and directed by Vanessa Alexander. The Rangers need to activate the Croc Carrier Zord, but in order to do that, they need a reactor that can't be found in the city. Mm-hmm. Scott takes it upon himself to go outside the city and get the reactor that was installed in his late brother's fighter jet.
Yeah.
Again, another great episode. Obviously, you know, this one is centered around Scott as the Red Ranger. And we get a lot of backstory, especially between him and his father and, you know, him and his brother and his father.
Yeah.
That's the big thrust of this episode. We get a wild fight sequence at the beginning of this movie, or at the end of the beginning of this episode, though. Because Ziggy and Scott go to help protect a woman and her baby from grinders in the park.
Yeah.
Half the battle, Scott is using the baby as a weapon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to be fair, Ziggy is also using the civilian woman as a weapon. Yeah. As they're, like, running through the different playground equipment, like, launching her into people, swinging her around. It's a crazy fight. I did really love it, though, because it echoes the old, like, Mighty Morphin Power Ranger playground fights they'd have against putties in a way that I really liked. It's just a really funny fight scene at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so aside from kind of the flashbacks that we get in kind of like Scott's past with his brother and his dad, you know, before everything went down with Vengix, we also get a lot in this episode of, like, Scott's position as the leader and what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, and when does he need to call shots and when does he need to make the decisions for himself?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. It does kind of have to, like, do a lot in 30 minutes. So there's, like, moments where, like, you know, Dr. K just has to tell everyone Scott's past. Yeah. Because so they can get up to date. So there's a little bit of time in this episode where it's like, okay, well, we don't have time to film all this. So we're just going to, like, explain it to y'all and we're done. Okay, moving on. Now you understand what Scott's doing, what he's doing. I do have a question that this episode raised, and I don't know if they've addressed it before. Could they not morph outside of the dome?
No, they can. I think the whole element of it was that they didn't want Vengix to be alerted.
Okay. Because that was just my question. because, like, later in the episode, Scott has to go out on his own, like, outside of the dome to retrieve the item that was in his brother's fighter jet. It's a thing that will help, like, power up the crop carrier Zord and not make it go crazy and nearly kill civilians. So I just, when that scene happened, I was like, you know, when he was revealed, I was like, all right, well, now morph into your ranger form. You can fight them now. They already know you're here. But I couldn't remember if that had been established. And I was trying to sit here and I was like, well, have they fought outside the dome? I don't think so. I had a whole moment. I do also, I want to shout out the prop work in RPM, because there's a bomb that Scott has at one point in the episode, and it just has like a kitchen utensil at the top of it. That's not shade. That's just, look, prop work is hard, and you build with what you have. And it's just funny that they like made that look like a bomb and then slapped a kitchen utensil on top. But anything stick out in this episode for you, Kevin?
No, I mean, I think we get some nice continuity nods through the flashbacks. But also, it just, it really highlights, like, Ekka Darvill's portrayal of Scott. And, like, he does a really good job at, like, balancing, obviously, like, having to be the hero of the story, but also balancing, like, the grief that he deals with through the flashbacks.
There's obviously, like, the big thing they're trying to draw with this is that, like, Scott's father, you know, Colonel Truman, has a whole thing with, like, comparing Marcus and Scott to each other. In his head, you know, he'll never say it, but the vibe is definitely that Scott will never live up to Marcus, and that, like, you know, there's always going to be this gap between who they were. And a lot of this episode, I think, is proving, Scott proving to his father that, like, look, I am as good as Marcus, and I'm going to try to do what I can to live up to his legacy as best I can. And it's wild that this episode, after, you know, them blowing up the robot, after us getting the little moment at the end of the episode, you know, we end with the father finding out his oldest son's, like, last wishes before he died. He opens a letter and has, like, you know, the recommendation that his brother wanted Scott to be his second in command, kind of thing. It's just a wild way to end this episode and a wild way to end Power Rangers. You know, in a 1-2 punch of having an episode previously that established cartels, we've now had one that has, you know, a really touching family moment at the end. I did really like, as well, we get a nice Ziggy and Dr. K moment where Dr. K is explaining what happened with the croc sword, and she's like, there was like a misfire or a miscalculation. Ziggy's like, wait, you made a mistake? And, she, and Dr. K's like, has happened once.
No. There's definitely a lot in this episode to really enjoy. And I think it, again, it does more of that world building where we learn more about the military side of things. And we see, like, not a lot, but we do see, like, some hints of, like, you know, this is how they were able to get people into the city, which is a lot of, which is nice to see.
Yeah. And I praise the prop work. I just want to praise, like, the shot design and, like, set design. Because there's, like, a sequence in the middle of the episode where we get a flashback to Scott flying his jet during the Vengix takeover, and they shoot him, you know, air quotes, in his cockpit, and they do it, like, they mask it by making the set really dark and, like, giving, like, lighting around him in a really cool way. And I thought, like, is it the most, like, spectacular kind of shot sequence? No, but it's really cool on a Power Rangers budget that they were like, well, how can we do this and how can we make it look cool? So I really wanted to applaud that kind of section this episode. It's just really fun and really cool and kind of ingenious, and it's one of those things you do when you have a budget. It's just like, you know, you come up with a way to make it work.
I
like the little tease as well that we get in this episode of, you know, Summer's past, because we see Scott and Summer's first meeting, you know, after Scott's brother is, you know, kind of taken down. His jet is also attacked. He's able to eject, though, and he lands and gets discovered by Summer, and they're the ones that end up getting him back to the Dome City of Corinth, which we've seen in a previous episode. And then, again, like, I think I wanted to highlight, like, you know, I wrote the note here. It's like both of these spotlight episodes are really speeding through, like, the Power Ranger stuff at the end of the episode, because we just, you know, there's an attack bot that they've been, you know, fighting, and supposedly is going to be the strongest one that Vengix has ever created. But they take it out with the cannon. They make the croc carrier Zord. Ziggy and Dylan kill the monster in the Megazord. And we're done. Back to the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
It's really funny. But Any other thoughts on Ranger Red?
It's a good episode overall. I mean, there's a lot of fun moments, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, same. I'm excited because our next one is actually a two-parter that revolves around Ranger Yellow, and I remember most of it. There's some parts I forget, so it's always new to me, but I'm excited for that one to get to discuss that next week. But
yeah.
With that, that'll be our episode for this week. If you want to reach out to us, you can hit us up on Twitter or Blue Sky at MadeThePowerPod or MadeThePowerPod.bsky.social. Mm-hmm. Or you can email us at madethepowerpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Feel free to send us topic ideas, comments, suggestions, critiques, or let us know if you're interested in coming on as a guest host. We are actively looking for people to come on and discuss mm-hmm. these episodes of Power Rangers RPM. We've got a schedule put together to cover like a certain, you know, sets of episodes each time we record. So just let us know if there's one you want to come on for. You know, you can come on and discuss two episodes, one, however you want. Just let us know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to find me, you can find me on most social media at Festus Punk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on most social media and Twitch at BridgeMT or BridgeMT3 or 3000. Take your pick.
Yep. Definitely follow him, watch his streams. He's been playing a lot of fun games recently.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, you know, before we go, we want to say thank you guys for listening to us, joining us in, getting here to talk about a thing we love discussing. But with that, as always, may the power protect you.